The constant equation of Israeli and National Socialist policies, Nazism of the Jews, Nazi-like enemy, Nazi Zionist practices, unquote, amounts to a specific form of Holocaust denial, one which legitimizes the pursuit of an anti-Jewish extermination policy while projecting these murderous intentions onto the chosen victim. And still more about the direct manifestation of Nazism in the contemporary Arab and Muslim world. And again, note here the introduction to the Palestinian Territories edition of Mein Kampf, which reached number 6 on its bestseller list in 1999. And I'm going to reiterate this. Adolf Hitler does not belong to the German people alone. He is one of the few great men who almost stopped the motion of history, altered its course. National Socialism did not die with the death of its herald. Rather, its seeds multiplied under each star. What he's basically saying, and not even between the lines, he's basically saying that he views his and his brethren's activities as basically a continuation of the Third Reich. And sadly, he has plenty of company in this particular regard. This specific Nazi-style anti-Semitism manifested itself through September 11th. Recall that we began the broadcast by taking a look at Hitler's plan to use the Daimler-Benz America bomber, a huge four-engine plane, to strap a bunch of little suicide kamikaze aircraft, which were going to fly to New York and crash themselves into some of the skyscrapers in New York and bring them down, this specifically to punish the Jews in their capital, unquote. And that specific style, Nazi style of anti-Semitism, was manifested by the September 11th hijackers. Recall that in the heroic work of Daniel Hopsicker, also in among other programs for the Record 336, we took a look at the fact that Mohammed Atta was anything but alone in South Florida. He was associated with Germans and Austrians, including Wolfgang Boringer. And talking of the Nazi-style anti-Semitism of the September 11th hijackers, the accused Munir al-Motesadeq had been a close friend of Mohammed Atta, the ringleader of the 9/11 hijackers. One witness, Shahid Nichols, a member of Mohammed Atta's core group between 1998 and 2000, said the following, quote, Atta's Weltanschauung, his worldview, was based on a national socialist or Nazi way of thinking. He was convinced that the Jews, unquote, are determined to achieve world domination. He considered New York City to be the center of world Jewry, which was, in his opinion, enemy number one. The trial in Hamburg also brought to light the second delusion underlying the Islamist view of America, that Jews control all the levers of American power. Thus, Shahid Nichols testified about the assailants' core group that, quote, they were convinced that Jews control the American government as well as the media and the economy of the United States. Motesadeq shared Atta's attitude in believing that a worldwide conspiracy of Jews exists. According to him, Americans want to dominate the world so that Jews can pile up the capital, unquote. Well, of course, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. The thing that makes the Jews so sneaky and so powerful is they control all that oil. It is those Jewish oil companies and the fact that Israel controls all of the oil. Now, if the poor Arabs only had any oil, well, they wouldn't get pushed around by this Jewish conspiracy. But, of course, that's not true. The Jews control all of the oil, right? Well, but of course, what else could be the case, right? Again, I can't recommend strongly enough, if people think that anti-Semitism and the kind of blood enmity that currently manifests itself in the Middle East is necessarily what has to have taken place. There, indeed, Matthias Kunzel's book points out that there is not that traditional enmity between Jews and Muslims. There is some anti-Semitism in the Quran, all right, but that the current manifestation of Nazi-style anti-Semitism within the jihadist community and an awful lot of the Arab and Muslim world, it comes from the Third Reich and the Muslim Brotherhood. And again, I think this very small but very scholarly, densely and rigorously documented book is well worth the reading. Again, it's the main body of the text is only 162 pages, not including bibliography and index. Well worth the read, and it dovetails very, very closely with the hypothesis I've been presenting. By the way, the author, as will inevitably be charged by people, is not only not a Zionist, but he isn't even a Jew. In fact, he's not only a German Gentile, but he's the son of ardent supporters of Adolf Hitler. His father fought on the Western Front right up to the end of the war, and his family profited handsomely from the Third Reich. And it was his reading of his father's letters and his family's letters from World War II that spurred him to begin studying fascism and Nazism, and ultimately resulted in this book. And Matthias Kunzel writes, "Neither the Grand Mufti nor the founders of the Muslim Brothers were creations of European fascism. However, both were strengthened by it. Like an elder brother, National Socialism had backed the fledgling Islamist movement up with catchwords, intellectual encouragement, and money. With the Cairo Jewish trial," unquote, the Nazis had exported their anti-Semitism to Egypt. Egyptian movements such as Young Egypt modeled their street processions on the Nazi mass marches. The Muslim Brotherhood got financial support from the German news agency in Egypt. Again, it was thanks to supplies of money from the Nazis that the Mufti was able to sustain the uprisings in Palestine, which Al-Banna then used to boost the formation of his jihadi movement. We find similar roots, by the way, with the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. Was Ayatollah Khomeini very, very close to Ahmed Huber of the Bank al-Taqwa. He was very close to François Janoux. And he, too, was strongly influenced by the Third Reich. We conclude with this passage from Jihad and Jew Hatred. "In 1937, when he was already an influential figure, Khomeini had linked up with the representatives of the Muslim Brotherhood. He began to read Hassan al-Banna's writings and discussed with the Brotherhood's emissaries for days on end. Khomeini would later make a special point of listening regularly to the Farsi language broadcasts put out by the Nazis from Radio Zaysen. Germany's Persian service was during the war to enjoy the widest possible audience in Iran and Iraq. Khomeini listened to the programs every evening," unquote, wrote Amir Tahiri in his biography of the Iranian leader. Again quoting, "Khomeini had brought with him a radio receiver set made by the British company Pi, which he had bought from an Indian Muslim pilgrimage. The radio proved to be a good buy. Many mullahs would gather at his home, often on the terrace in the evenings, to listen to Radio Berlin as well as the BBC." And again, his disciple, Khomeini's disciple, Ahmadinejad, holding a Holocaust denial conference, networking with European neo-Nazis and people like David Duke, and also, according to a number of sources, including European intelligence or British intelligence, China, who has testified to this effect, and the United Nations, they're going for nuclear weapons. Now, doesn't that make you feel good about the future? Sure makes me feel good. This concludes For the Record, program number 634, Side 2, update on 9/11 and related matters. This has been recorded on May 18th of 2008. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.
And you're tuned to WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope, 91.1. And this is the old Gadger Courtney. So long, Dave. Nice seeing you again. Another week goes by, 2 weeks. And the case of Sly Weasel Bourbon that you promised me still does not arrive. Anyway, you know, I met I spoke to an old girlfriend of Dave Emery. She told me how Dave works. Now, his radio show puts together his radio show. She says, you know, Dave makes stuff up all the time. He just makes it up. And it's jazz. What the Dave Emery show is, it's music. It's jazz. He's improvising. Everything he says is a riff. It's just like he's on 52nd Street or something. Down there, smoky after-hour joint, you know. That's what it is. Sometimes Dave is hot, swinging. Sometimes he's cool. You know, every so often, Dave segues into the occasional ballad. You know, something a little melancholy. But he doesn't tell the listeners this. He wants to, the listeners are smart. They can figure it out themselves that Dave, He wants you to listen to the rhythm of his voice. The words don't mean anything. It's the rhythm of Dave Emery's voice that he wants you to pay attention to. He wants to be acknowledged someday as a colossus of jazz improvisation with words every week. So, we're proud to have him here on WFMU because we're about music. And I'm the old codger. I'm about music, too. I've got some 78 RPM records. Just brimming, drenched, dripping, oozing with music, such as this one.
Politely he said, drop dead. But when I got upstairs, he was under my bed. It must be an old Spanish custom. Clavelito, también la doy caramelas. Clavelito, para la churamela. Clavelito, que lo doy, que lo doy.
Which means in the English language, no.
Clavelito, que la llorada, Clavelito, que viene de granada. Clavelito, que lo trae con los ojos cerrados. Si lo trae con los ojos cerrados, si lo trae con los ojos cerrados.
May go on for years.
Clavelito, que lo trae Juanito. Para mi novio.
Have you heard the one about... Have you heard the one about... She's heard it.
Well, what are you waiting for?
What?
Why don't you dance?
I'm waiting for you to get off my foot.
Must be an old Spanish custom, a regular thing in Madrid. I thought I might ask you about them, for some of the things that he did.
I would be dead if his glances could kill. He sent me sweet flowers that gave me a thrill. And then 30 days later, he sent me the bill.
It must be an old Spanish custom.
Oh, so sorry. Just keeping the... throat moist. Hot day, you know. In case you haven't noticed. Well, there's the old codger here. And we just heard from the Duncan sisters, Rosetta and Vivian Duncan from the 1920s. And it must be an old Spanish custom. Now, before that was the After Midnight Polka by... It's hard to read some of these records. It's the J.B. Wesolowski with the vocal by Ishuk. You see, these records were given to me by an old girlfriend of mine. She's a... maybe you've heard of her. Her name is Betty Rubber. That's her married name, of course. She's one hot patootie. I used to date her. Her maiden name was Betty... I'm not sure how it's spelled, but it was how it was pronounced exactly that way. I don't think I could pronounce it again. But she married, I don't know why she went, and she married that Neanderthal, Barney. Barney Rubber, he was a dope, very stupid man. He's a lousy bowler. He's short. So, but Betty, like I said, she was one hot patootie back in the day when I used to date her. She had great taste in music. Collected records, 78 RPM records, and she loved the hot Chicago jazz. And, you know, she was of Ukrainian descent, Betty was, and she gave me the 78 RPM records from the Ukraine. There's a big stack of Ukrainian 78 RPM records. I wasn't familiar with them, but there's some fine music in there. That was one of the ones I played at the start of the program. I'm going to play another one right now. It is pronounced Yak Zeta Sunset. It means, Betty tells me, it's after sunset. And it's also by J.B. Wesolowski. So, we're going to listen to this 78 from the stack of the Ukrainian 78s that Betty Rubber gave to me. Thank you.
як сині хмарі, заграють зорі, вечірні тиші я шукатиму тебе. І після довгих-довгих днів розлуки не бідем щастя нашого шукать. І знову разом, взявшися за руки, ми будем цвінки любви мене зривать. А річка гає, шуміть співає про нашу мову і про щасливі дні. Як зайде сонце, ступни у віконце, я ждати буду.
Do 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 Thank you.
Well, not all these 78 are in great shape. There's a problem at the end there. That was another one that Betty Rubber gave me from her collection of Ukrainian 70 RPM records. And let's see what that was called. I don't know if I can pronounce this. I've never been to the Ukraine. A Shyhansky Tango by Sly and Moots W. Tritiak or something. And let's see. Before that, we heard something that was not from the Ukraine. It was Mary Lou Williams and her girl stars doing the Boogie Mysterioso. That was preceded by the New Orleans Owls and White Ghost Shivers. And then I played Louis Jordan, the great Louis Jordan, and his orchestra before he formed the Timpani Five. And we heard I Can't Dance, I Got Ants in My Pants. And then before that we played, I said it was J.B., what was his name, Wesolowski, vocal by Issue. Wait a minute. No, that was a different vocal. That was Sophia Howery Jacques Kalba and Jacques Zayde Sunset. Means after sunset. Well, so this is the old codger Courtney T. Edison here on WFMU. WFMU, the flagship station of itself. I'm here for another half hour playing some 78s. And then, you know what? The new schedule starts next week. This is going to be my last show for a while. I'm not tired, but I am retiring. Yes, I am retiring for the 17th time. It gets easier after the third or fourth time that you retire. You'll see. So anyway, I'm taking some time off from doing radio. This is voluntary. They did not kick me off the radio. Because if they did, they wouldn't let me be doing this show now, because I would tell you what I really think of them. So anyway, I'm taking some time off this summer to save the planet. That's what I'm going to be doing, taking some time off to save the planet. Because I love the planet. I just hate all the people that are on it. So anyway, 78 RPM records are, as you know, an endangered species. So I have a lot of work to do. And also there's an election coming up. So in the fall, I have been recruited to serve as a campaign consultant on the re-election campaign of Calvin Coolidge for president. And I think he's the best, that because he does the least. Cool Cal, yes, he just wants to leave us alone. Get the government off your back, out of your business. In fact, Calvin Coolidge still holds the record for the most afternoon naps in the White House by a sitting president. Of course, he wasn't sitting when he took the naps. It's just a figure of speech, a sitting president. So anyway, I encourage you to go out and vote for Calvin Coolidge in November. I will be campaigning, knocking door to door in my neighborhood, canvassing the neighbors and urging them with some threats of physical violence, if necessary, that they better go out and vote for Cool Cal in November. And, as far as him doing nothing, that's great. I like him. The more comatose, the better. Cool Cal, he can be dead for all I know, and he'd still make a great president. I encourage members of Congress, in fact, to spend more time napping. They seem to think that keeping busy makes them better legislators. Well, I prefer my elected officials to behave in a more meditative, less hyperactive manner. So, if you happen to be having a drink with any of these elected officials, you should suggest they take longer vacations. You should encourage them to take up hobbies that have nothing to do with running government. Maybe they would take up the hobby of listening to 78 RPM records. Then maybe they would be concerned about this vanishing species of musical preservation, and they would do something about it. So anyway, somebody else will be taking my place. Mac will be doing the old phonograph hour, and somebody else named Joseph is going to be doing a 78 show, and I will be listening because I will be giving him a lot of the material that he'll be playing on his program. Anyway, because my show is going off the air for a little while, I have many sponsors, as you know, people who pay the bills here. This may be a non-commercial station, but this is not a non-commercial show. So I have a lot of catching up to do because I haven't aired commercials for the last six shows. So be sure to patronize the proud sponsors of the Old Codger Radio Hour, and here are a few of them.
The kitchens of today can be more beautiful in 1949 because this year there's a better, brighter, self-polishing floor wax. It's 1949 Glow Coat. Yes, bright as it's always been, this year Glow Coat is brighter than ever, better than any. Try 1949 Glow Coat on your linoleum this week.
Forefathers went to trading post 3 long days' journey to get powder and shot.
Today I drive my Pontiac to town in a few minutes to see the latest Paris gown.
Is this new Pontiac equipped with freewheeling?
Naturally.
Has it synchro silent second?
Of course.
Is the body by Fisher?
Certainly.
Well, apparently Pontiac has all the latest developments of automotive engineering.
Absolutely. That is why Pontiac is today the chief of values.
ABC. Always buy Chesterfield, the milder cigarette. And Chesterfield leaves a clean, fresh taste in your mouth.
A. Always milder.
B.
Better tasting.
C.
Cooler smoking.
ABC.
Always buy Chesterfield's. They satisfy.
Arthur Godfrey and all the little Godfreys, Jeanette Davis, the Mariners, and Archie Blyer and his orchestra.
Every one of you undoubtedly has a headache or pain remedy that you swear by. But haven't you noticed that on some occasions it fails you? That there are times it does not seem to work? On these occasions, let me suggest that you try Anacin, for here is a remedy that I'm sure won't fail you. You'll find the fastest and most complete relief in Anacin you have ever experienced. The reason is simple. Anacin contains not one pain-soothing agent alone, but four, one of which is in all probability the remedy you now customarily take to relieve pain. You can get Anacin at your druggist for a few cents. Your money back if you're not pleased. I'll spell the name. A-N-A-C-I-N.
Yes, sir, so please patronize the proud sponsors of the Old Country Radio Show. They pay the bills here. That Glow Coat and Pontiac cars just smoke Chesterfield cigarettes. I don't care that they said that it's illegal to advertise cigarettes on the radio. You heard me. I don't care. I don't take orders from them, whoever the hell they are. And Anacin. So you smoke a cigarette while you're driving the car, you get a headache, you take some Anacin. Because you got to get home quickly to wax the floor with your Glow Coat. So there. Anyway, you can use all the products in one day. Well, it's time to go back to the music now. We've got the nice little song here by Ruth Edding.
We were so happy, you and I. Why did we drift apart? I can't forget you, though I try. You're always in my heart. There's no one to
walking by the Spanish Town Road, and as I reach by Darling Street, me hear a lord Pedassi singing a song like this. Me got a man that me call a lwell. Every day him want food in bed. It's a shame how him eyes them red when he want food in bed. But no food in bed. Yes, no food in bed. But when me call don't be plenty too. All the while him me saying no. Yet him want me give me bed blues. So no food in bed. Then I continued now on my journey, and when I reached a Tabas Street, another band was here and played a song like this. When I come but dust it tough and the man him want to get too rough. He no leave money, him no leave no food, but by 6 o'clock him wanting food. Check where you want, Mr. Check where you want. Check you want out me empty pan. Check where you want, Mr. Check where you want. Check you want out me empty pan. When I reach a long church street, me hear chin scallops or sextet playing a song like this. Liza, me hear you see me funkin'. Yes, Baba, me take a little wanda. If you take it, then you really have to see me. But Baba, me no have no time to see you, no. For the other one come here and all he could do was to throw water in a make a room and cock down me by me. 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 And I'm out of
the bright spot in your budget is your electricity. Electricity.
My, oh my, what a bargain buy.
The bright spot in your budget is your electricity. Electricity.
Makes housework light.
And the price is right.
It runs your dryer, runs your toaster.
Runs your automatic roaster.
Lights your house, brightens your day.
And that's why you hear everyone say it's the bright spot in your budget. How cheap can anything be?
My, oh my, what a bargain buy is your electricity.
Your electricity. Your electricity.
Thank you.
But all right, that was Toggy Scrotum and his birthday suit Playboys and Flatfish. And we heard from a vocal group called Electric Six, and they did The Bright Spot in Your Budget. Chin's Calypso Sextet, with vocal by Mr. Badasha, did Calypso Pepper Pot. Sidney Bechet played Summertime. Ben Webster was in there, that set of music with I Surrender Dear, and Ruth Edding, the lovely Ruth Edding, did Lonesome and Sorry. Well, this is the Old Codger, and I wanted to pass a message along to you from my friend Rummy Delbarton. He's got a problem. Rummy's got a lot of problems. You know, one of them is Rummy has these very strange hobbies. He collects jokes without punchlines. So if you have any, he wants them. He collects them. He has this vast store of jokes with no punchlines. They're jokes that don't have that they were invented. They were written, but whoever wrote them never got around to writing the punchline. Well, Rummy collects them. He's got a big volume of them, handwritten, of course. And sometimes he gets the book out when we're visiting him. And in between me queuing up the 78 RPM records at our little get-togethers, he likes to tell these jokes with no punchlines. It's pointless. He builds up this tension. You're waiting for this outburst of laughter, this comedic relief, and it never arrives. I would tell you some, but they're so stupid. It would be a waste of time. It's a waste of time for me to even be telling you about this wretched hobby of Rummy's. Anyway, Rummy, what is it with this Rummy? He's a $50 hat on a 5-cent head. He's also not on very good terms with soap. I just thought I'd pass that along. Anyway, Rummy wants me to pass along to you that he went for a walk in the neighborhood last week over by the park in East Orange, and he lost his civil rights. So, if anybody finds Rummy Delbarton's civil rights, he wants you to keep them safe and bring them to his home. You can call him if you find him. The civil rights, that is. His phone number, he wants me to give you his phone number. Rummy has had the same phone number since 1895. And write it down. His phone number is 9. So, okay, write it down. It's 9. I repeat it. His phone number is 9. So if you find Rummy Delbarton, civil rights, give him a call, and he'll be very happy to hear that, because he's feeling very restricted right now. Well, anyway, I have to get back to one more song to play, and then the program's over, and I'm going to be off for the summer while I'm off saving the planet. So, and coming up next is not Sharpie Sharpling, it's a woman named Monica, and she's going to play a lot of good music, she tells me. Yes, she's quite a lovely lady. She's going to bring down, I think, a bunch of 78s, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, the last song I'm going to play for the last Old Codger show for now, and I will be back. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not like I'm going to die or anything. Because I always say, if you can't take it with you, I'm not going. Anyway, one of my favorite 78s of all time by one of my favorite artists is, of course, Sophie Tucker.
And jelly beans, lend me your ear. Though you think you've been petted, don't be silly, forget it. Deb, Flapper, and Baby Vance, bawl me to tears. What do they know concerning love? Come to me for your burning love. 'Cause I'm the last of the red hot mamas. They've all cooled down but me. Flapper Van, say, what do they know? Come get your hot stuff from this volcano. I'm an overheater, try and beat it. Hotsy, totsy, hot and hot. Now it may be snowing, but when I get going, oh baby, I'm hot. You can't keep your collegiate charmers. Their loving isn't worth a dime. Away up in Alaska where the natives freeze, an Eskimo left my hut in his BBT. 'Cause I'm the last of the red hot mamas. I'm getting hotter all the time. I don't want to brag, but in my hotel suite, a
dozen firemen are overcome by heat. A Scotsman wants to marry me, the dear sweet soul. He thinks with me around, he'll save a lot of coal. I met a movie star who's famous for his patch. I gave him one kiss and singed off his mustache. A funny thing happened, I nearly died. I sat down on an egg, got up, the egg was fried. I'm the last of the red hot mamas. They've all cooled down but me. I don't pet and only neck him, no sir. I'm a mama who loves to wreck him. I can make him sizzle, make him fry and frizzle. If you want to know the truth, I can warm the cold ones, give the old ones back their flaming youth. I was born in the hot Bahamas. Right now I'm in love and pride. Others pet and kiss and hug and don't know what it's all about. Say, when I kiss men, they feel I've had their tonsils taken out. Cause I'm the last of the red hot mamas. I'm getting hotter all the time.
Okay, well, that's Sophie Tucker and the last of the Red Hot Mamas, the final song on the concert program. I'll be coming back maybe sometime in the future doing the show and the fill-ins for Mac, for whoever else is playing the 70 RPM records like they're going out of style. Well, you stay tuned, Monica and your doggy. Your doggy's here, he's coming. They're going to play 78s too. They do sound a lot cleaner than the ones I play. So this is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope.
Bien vite, coucou mon cœur vous invite. Coucou. easy me.
Disappeared from sight, and there's no moon at all. Don't make a sound, it's so dark. Even Fido is afraid to bark. What a perfect chance to park, and there's no moon at all. Should we want atmosphere? Tonight is right, and bright moonlight might interfere. No moon at all up above. This is nothing like they told us of. Just to think we fell in love, and there's no moon at all. Tonight is right, and bright moonlight might interfere. No moon at all up above. This is nothing like they told us of. Just to think we fell in love, and there's no moon at all. No moon.